whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
The only thing that you can predict on this show, I say this with pretty significant confidence, is that Shayna Goldman's going to join us on Fridays. Now, there have been throughout the week cameos over the course of this season, but we do love our Friday Shayna Goldman segment. Hi, Shayna. How are you?
I'm good. I thought you were going to be like, there's one thing you can predict, and it's whatever is going to come out of her mouth. Like, I thought we were going in a different direction. I'm like, Shayna, oh no, what did I do?
I'm treading
cautiously. I dropped a bad word last week. I did it. Anybody can do it. That's the problem.
It was pretty amazing. It was, as you would expect, Shayna, it was like the most innocent Marty-ism of all time. Like, he's just recounting, you know, days gone by, and all of a sudden this S-bomb drops out, and we're like, oh, well, that was kind of interesting.
I was going to ask, what word did we go with? That is personally my favorite, so good choice.
Yeah, yes. It was good. It was good. Well, Marty's fixated on your assessment of the Eastern Conference right now. Mm-hmm. So after a whole bunch of those teams that are trying to get into the playoffs had good nights last night, Ottawa notwithstanding, what do we make of this race now that is basically into the second half?
I mean, it's exciting that there is a race in the first place because the West feels a little bit more decided. And it was similar last year, too. The problem is, like, while Montreal's run right now is super fun and exciting because it's like, wow, this up-and-coming team, the Blue Jackets, they're one of the best stories in the league. In a lot of cases, they have these opportunities because everyone around them sucks so much. And while, you know, it's nice that we're going to have some interesting, you know, it's going to be really interesting come the deadline, too, because some of these teams are on a bigger journey that they might not be buyers, like the Flyers, who took themselves out of position to stay with the process. And I think we might see that from some teams if they're still here come March. But it still feels like so many teams don't want this spot and they're taking the fun out of this race.
Oh, I'm having a lot of fun with it. So, I mean, that's just me. But, okay, so if we had to power rank some of those teams, because those teams suck so much, as you just said. Like, the Bruins would be at the bottom, right? Like, they're terrible. And
can we have this segment sponsored by a vacuum company, please?
Yes.
Oh, my Dyson. God, that would be perfect. Yeah,
Dyson will sponsor our suck-o-meter. Let's just call it that way.
There but we'll we go. Beautiful. We're getting vacuums and blow dryers for all. Let's go.
Absolutely. So, you know, my daughter's got the whole Dyson thing at Christmas, like the hair dryer and the thing. So anyway,
I bought
the
shark. I get it.
Yeah. So, okay. So Boston's awful. Columbus is not so bad. You know, Ottawa, no Allmark. Montreal, eh. Detroit, whatever. Islanders, Flyers. Is Buffalo, like, if you had to do a power ranking of the teams that suck so much, would you think Buffalo is a team that, oh, well, they do have some talent, and if it wasn't for 13-game winless streak, they'd be up there. Would you put them a little higher?
Good question. Would I put Buffalo higher? It's really hard to say because they're so inconsistent, and I feel like it's hard to ignore that 13-game losing streak, even though they've been a lot better since. Because I look at the Senators and go, well, if they had Linus Ullmark right now, I would feel a lot better about them, right? Because the defense is much better. The offense in the early goings was good. It's really trailed off lately. But, I mean, it's hard to say because I think we know the Sabres are better than what their record shows. They're better than that 13-game win streak. But I'm not seeing it consistently enough from certain guys to be completely sold on them just yet. Like, I want to see Rasmus Dahlin taking over games more often. I want to see Dylan Cousins thriving in transition. I want to see Peterka back to those early season levels, and he's getting better. But it's just, I'm missing a little bit. And then the Jason Zucker injury, like, I'm challenged a little there.
Well, good news was Zucker came back last night, so that's important, but never easy to stomach in the moment, obviously. Who's more real among the teams that are surging right now? Montreal, 8 wins in 10. Detroit, 5 wins in a row. Dare I say the Rangers, 3-1-1 in their last 5. So, you know, like, where are we? And not that long ago, We spoke in broad NHL terms with a couple of teams averaging over 4 goals per game. The new highest scoring team in the league is Tampa at only 3.69, so that has come way down. Yet Columbus is at 4.18 on home ice. They are like lapping the field at Nationwide. So what do we make of all this?
Columbus is an interesting one because they've ranked really highly in their goals per 60 throughout the year. At 5-5, they were second in the league in the early going of the season. The expected goal generation just fell short, and their shooting percentage was so high, so I was a little bit worried about the sustainability. And I feel like their levels kind of balanced out in the way that you would want to see that they were able to keep this up. The Sean Monahan injury is, you know, the big hurdle in all of that because he has been one of the best stories of the year. He's been outstanding between Marchenko and whoever they've thrown on the left there. Now it's Vorokhanov, and like it's working for them. But I'm excited to see how Fantilli looks, but I'm a little bit worried about that long-term sustainability without him there because I think he's been a really important part of it. But like Zach Werenski's playing at the level of a Norris caliber defenseman. Like I think that there is more to like in Columbus than maybe we all expected, but it might just be because, you know, we didn't see this team having this trajectory, right? Like none of us saw this coming. And with Montreal, you see the progress and you go, well, that's nice. You thought they'd be better this year, but maybe not good enough to be taking out legitimately good teams. I'm not totally sold on them yet, to be honest. I think that I need to see a little bit more at 5-on-5, and the goaltending's been a bit inconsistent. Sam Montembeau, I think, is better than his last stretch of play. So I'm not sold on them. But then, you know, you mentioned the veteran teams. The Rangers have a lot of work to do. They have the difference is the Rangers have that elite talent that can flip a switch and turn it on and turn things around, but it's not happening consistently enough that I'm not sold on them either.
Okay. You're Mika the dog almost was traded to the Vancouver Canucks. I was worried about you and knowing that maybe that was going to happen. This or that, if you were a team in the National Hockey League, would you be looking for JT Miller or Elias Pettersson? Which one would you want? And I'm not trading your dog. I don't want him to go anywhere. But Mika Zibanejad was apparently offered to the Vancouver Canucks for JT Miller. So I'm saying, who do you like better, Miller or Pettersson?
It's fine. I didn't name her, so it's not my problem. Okay, I gave up the name just to get her, so, you know.
Good. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a cute name regardless. But I would say if I'm an acquiring team, every single day of the week, without question, I am going after Elias Pettersson. Okay. I do not care that JT Miller is North American and brash, and he brings the energy, and he scores a ton on the power play, and he can bring that playoff scoring that obviously we weren't seeing from Pettersson last year. I understand all of that. But this whole situation to me, you look at Pettersson and you have someone that is a franchise cornerstone. When the offense isn't popping, at least the defense is very good. That's someone who could win a Selke trophy and who could someday be in the Hart trophy race. To me, JT Miller, when you consider the age, the contract, the inconsistency, I don't know, maybe some of the defensive setbacks we've seen this year, it's giving 2 years ago. Do you remember all of those 6-on-5 goals that, you know, they were trying to catch up in a game and JT Miller's making bad defensive plays or they're defending the 6-on-5 and he's out there and you're just seeing like a total lack of effort on these game-changing plays and the Canucks are losing games as a result. Like, we're getting back to those levels. So I would not be going after him.
Just quickly, JT Miller has 12 playoff goals in 91 playoff games. And I know a lot of those games were Rangers and Tampa and maybe he wasn't playing as high in the lineup. But in 30 playoff games with the Vancouver Canucks, he has 9 goals. Like over a full season, that's 20 to 25 goals. Like it's not a very high rate of goals for playoff performance if you think that he would be able to give you playoff performances that you need to win a cup. Like it... I like JT Miller. I think he's a good player, but I'm with you. Elias Pettersson all the way, in my opinion. That's the way I look at it.
And the other part of it, too, is you look at last year, right? Like, they brought in a center because they weren't sure he could stay at center and be their 2C. Obviously, you know, Lindholm didn't work out the way they expected. He was injured. He was good as a 3C. And JT Miller brought his game up a lot on both ends of the ice with Brock Besser. They were killing it, right? At 5-on-5, they were barely on the ice for any goals against after they brought in Lindholm. But that hasn't been the consistent like theme throughout his career. Like there was a reason they acquired someone to be their 2C instead of Miller.
Any concerns about the Devils right now?
I mean, if you lose to the Rangers like that, I mean, they got to be down bad when they generally dominate the Rangers. It's interesting because in December, you look at it, and they were one of the best defensive teams in the entire league. They had a stretch of, I think it was like 8 of 9 games where they only allowed 20 shots on goal or less. And the one game that they allowed more, it was 24 to the Avalanche. And then they go back-to-back against the Canes. And I thought, like, hey, it's just the Canes. Don't worry about it. But that theme is continuing on right now. The lucky part is Markstrom is bringing it when he had some struggles earlier in the season. But I think that they need a little bit more from their offense right now. And I think you're starting to see a couple holes in the top six on the wings because Mercer has been a third-line staple and isn't making the case to play higher. So I think that's one part of it. But two, I wonder if they're going to start shifting around their D pairs. I know they were so good and so consistent earlier in the season, but like it seems like they need to just get back to that like stabilizing game that they had last month and earlier this year.
Seattle Kraken are in Buffalo tomorrow, 4 p.m. I'm thankful for Duffer reminding me it's a 4 p.m. game. I thought it was a 1 or a 7, so it's a 4. So it's the way it is. So 3:30, we're on the air with a pregame. What do we expect from Seattle? Not a lot of consistent offense, but who are the players to watch and how do you beat them?
So Joey Decord is one to watch because I think Grubauer has, you know, been inconsistent at best in goals. So a healthy Decord is a good thing for the Kraken because he was very good before he was sidelined with injury. I think the one thing to keep in mind is like this is a team that they've been good with these like surprising comeback wins, including against, I think it was the Canucks already twice this year. So that's one thing to go off of. But like the power play scoring isn't where it should be. The 5-on-5 scoring still lacks a bit. But you're seeing that top line get together in a way that you were hoping to see for a while, right? If you're a Kraken fan, like you wanted to see them have a true top line. It feels like Kako, Beniers, and Schwartz have been that. So at least they have like a better consistent threat there. And then I think if you give them true first line minutes, then everybody else gets a little bit less, which might be fitting for this lineup. But yeah, like I wouldn't say they're the biggest offensive threat in the league.
Final minute of play. Does Boston make big changes again?
No. I think management made their big change to try to save themselves, even though they were the problem all along. While I agree, Montgomery, I think, wore out his welcome in Boston. You're seeing now the fundamental issues that were behind that all along, which was management and the team building. And let's see what they do down the middle, because I think that's still a legitimate issue.
Could they do a double coaching switch in the season? Could they see like, hey, we may need to go and get ahead of the everybody else that may do coaching changes and get somebody else before the season's over?
I would be shocked if they did, but I mean, who knows, right? The average tenure in the NHL is below 2.3 years right now, if I remember correctly. Like, it's ever changing among those 32 coaches. Like, it keeps going down, but I think that they try to make some roster changes first.
Thank you. Never change, Shayna.
Wow. Thanks for having me.
All right. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. She'll be back next week, and we're back right after this.